Hey, Under the Dome listeners, it's Dawn Vaughn. We at the News and Observer want to give you first dibs on a seat to Under the Dome Live, which is a special live recording of our weekly podcast with you as our audience in the Daniels Auditorium at the North Carolina Museum of History in downtown Raleigh. We have State Senators Natalie Murdoch, who's a Durham Democrat, and Vicki Sawyer, an Iredell County Republican, lined up as my guests. So please save the date for Tuesday, April 30th at 5 p.m. You can RSVP at underthedomelive.eventbrite.com. So we hope to see you there, and you can actually watch what we do as we're recording the podcast. For the News and Observer, I'm Capitol Bureau Chief and Under the Dome host Dawn Vaughn for this latest episode for the week of April 29th, 2024. I'm here today with my politics team colleagues from The Ledge, Kyle Ingram and Avi Bajpai, as we tell you what to expect this week because the General Assembly is back. The short session is here. We're in it now. Are you guys hyped?
Something like that.
I'm excited. I'm loving it, being back at the building. Yeah,
it's a good time.
Okay. Well, before the session even started, Democratic Governor Roy Cooper called a presser at the Albemarle building, which is fun to say, Albemarle, which was the insurance building. It's now where basically everyone that was in the Department of Administration building moved over, including the governor has an office there. So he had a press conference to present his budget proposal, except we didn't actually get to see the budget or read it or any of that before he started talking, and the lawmakers didn't either. So Cooper basically told the reporters, who were all looking at our watches because it's at 11 o'clock and the session starts at noon, what he wants Republican lawmakers, who most listeners would know that have total control over the budget. Of course, they do want to listen to Cooper in some ways, and we'll go a little bit more to that in a second. So anyway, Cooper gave his pitch of what he wants with the $1.4 billion surplus. His pitch was a lot of education. He wants really big teacher raises, 8.5% minimum for everyone this year, and lesser raises for state employees and for basically the more of the like laborers within the school system, like school bus drivers, assistants, often the lowest paid people who also get the lower raises too. And that is part of his pitch. But all of that is still generally higher than what Republicans want. So we're back at that, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears and the porridge, and Cooper wants one thing and Republicans want the other, and the result is some range of the middle depending on who has the most leverage. So I'm going to play a brief clip from Governor Cooper telling, he says this is presentation to lawmakers, but basically reporters were the middle people, because then we went and asked the lawmakers what they thought and they said we haven't seen it yet, and so we're like, well, this is what Cooper said. So here's some of what Cooper said.
We are at a crossroads. One path prioritizes giveaways to the wealthy over the well-being of our state. The other secures a future of success for everyone. Let's hope we make the right choice.
So Cooper is pretty much, as I was saying before, kind of doubling down on education funding, workforce. He did make like kind of a sideline during the news conference that, you know, this is the first time he wasn't asking for Medicaid expansion since that already happened. So,
Republicans, I mean, obviously we don't have their proposal yet, but are they wanting to not just not spend as much of the surplus as Cooper wants to amount it to, or is there something else they want to put it towards?
Well, the some things that we've already, you know, Speaker Moore has come to those like one and done sessions, you know, and told us that. And our, you know, education reporter colleague Kern Huey has written about, and I wrote about it also, that a lot of people want these private school vouchers and there's not enough money there. So Republicans, it's their whole thing. And so they want to add more money. And Moore told us before session a couple of weeks ago that he said maybe up to $300 million, and what Berger said was more like $100 million. Cooper said he doesn't want to raise taxes, but he does want to spend differently than Berger wants to spend. So after the sessions in the House and Senate were really short, Reporters talked to Berger after, asked him our usual barrage of questions. And if you hear background noise, it's because we're still on the Senate floor. But Gary Robertson, the AP reporter, and I had like added about what Cooper said and what his pitch was. And Berger had some pretty choice words. Keep in mind that, you know, Cooper and Berger have known each other for a long time, and they're not new to this budget battle that is already underway. So this is what Berger said.
His proposal is always spend more taxable. That's you boil his proposal down, it's always spend more taxable. When the Democrats were in control of the General Assembly, that was their proposal, and we see where it got us. I can just tell you that we do not intend to go down that path.
And then we talked about the three bears and the porridge. Sometimes the House, even though it's all Republican, is sort of that middle porridge. And in this case, it was House Republican budget writer, one of the top three, Jason Sane. We didn't talk to Moore. His dad isn't doing great, so Moore wasn't around to talk to reporters after session. And Sane was kind of sort of the mid-range of, you know, there are a lot of things that we need to do. And one other thing is that Republicans don't have to listen to Cooper, again, because of the votes, but they are still going to. And Sane talked to myself and a couple other reporters on the floor after about what they would do. One thing that Cooper wants, and that Republicans actually want too, is to help this child care cliff, basically, because a lot of these child care centers were propped up with COVID funds, and those are running out, and it's basically a looming crisis. So here's Sane's answer about Republican support for doing something about child care.
There's always more needs than there are dollars, but at the same time, I think that that is something that we've all heard it from. I was at an employer on Saturday, and you know, talking to folks who work regular shifts, and you know, that's always a challenge. It always was at our household growing up, and it's there now. So we you know, luckily ours is 15, a little easier to take care of. But the you know, the younger kids, it's tough, and for families. So we want to see if we can help.
And Sane's reference to the 15-year-old, he was talking about his own child as a parent. And I think anyone with kids knows that childcare is expensive and a lot of logistics and everything else going on. So that's kind of where we are on the budget. What do y'all think about how we're sort of shaping up this session?
It sounds like, you know, like you're saying, there could be some points of agreement between Berger, Moore, and Cooper. But it just seems like Republicans and Democrats are diametrically opposed on education when it comes to vouchers versus public school funding, you know. And I just wonder to what extent that's going to be sort of like the theme of this short session.
Yeah, and they already removed those income eligibility requirements on the vouchers, which had to say, like, you had to make so much money to be able to eligible for this. So now any family can get them. And they got a lot of support from, you know, private school advocates when that happened. So you have to think, going into November, is pushing more money into this program going to reignite that base of Republican voters?
And who is it helping, and who is it not helping with this money? And you know, Republicans in general are opposed to government handouts to people. And this is a voucher, you know, scholarship is a government handout. You know, it's for this particular program. So it basically depends on who you're handing it to. I think the raises, Cooper likes to say he wants really big teacher raises, because 5 years ago he called a Republican raises budget proposal paltry, and they ended up with no raises, and then COVID happened. So Cooper is trying to regain that, wanting to give big raises for teachers, because it's not easy being a public school teacher right now. And payment is one thing that keeps people around. But again, like I'd mentioned, and that was one of my questions for Cooper, is what about the bus drivers? What about cafeteria workers? What about all those other school personnel? And they are, in his proposal, slated to get raises, not as much. I believe it's about the same as state employees. And state employees still has a pretty big vacancy rate problem. I believe it's like around 23% is what Budget Director Kristen Walker said. So we'll see if it ends up the repeat of you know, Cooper wants a lot, Republican senators want almost nothing, and House Republicans, you know, come in the center with that. So we've got a lot more to talk about now that the session is underway, about guns, about elections, and of course, our picks for headliner of the week. We'll be right back. You're listening to Under the Dome. I'm Capitol Bureau Chief Dawn Vaughn, here with state politics reporters Kyle Ingram and Avi Bajpai. Before the break, we were talking about things that are definitely happening this legislative session, the budget, which is already underway. Election legislation could be happening, maybe, possibly. Kyle, what are the chances of us seeing something, and what would that look like?
That's what I'm really interested in looking into in the short session. Obviously, there was a lot of election legislation last session that's still played out in court right now. Not even sure how much of it will be in effect when we get to November. But what we do know is Senator Brad Overcash, a Republican, told us that he's going to reintroduce this legislation that would put a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November to say that only citizens can vote in elections. Now, that's already the law. It's a federal crime for non-citizens to vote in elections, but they see this as a way to sort of clear up ambiguity in the state constitution. Critics say it's a way, when you put things like this on the ballot, you're sort of driving conservatives to the polls. It's an igniting issue that you can capitalize on to get people out into the ballot box. So we asked us, reporters asked Senator Berger about that last week. He said there's a possibility of it. He said he didn't see any harm in adding it, but didn't seem super gung-ho on it. So we'll see what happens with that.
Do you think this is just like it's an election year, like we don't need a new law, but let's just pass a new law so people think we're doing something extra?
It certainly could be. I mean, that's what critics, you know, when we reported this story, critics said this just seems like a way to drive Republicans to the polls. And one of these conservative election integrity groups in an internal meeting, they also refer to it as a way to drive conservatives to the polls. So it doesn't appear that it would really have any practical effect.
Well, speaking of issues that people think about in campaign season, Avi, there's two different ends of like gun legislation of what people want that's already played out in the first 2 days of session.
Yeah, that's right. On the first day of session, there were gun rights supporters, people who helped, elect a Republican supermajority in 2022, were very happy when the pistol permit law was repealed last year, but they say that Republicans need to go further and allow concealed carry without a permit as well, which is something, there's some 29 other states in the country have some form of that. So they're basically saying Republicans need to get with the times in terms of what Republican voters in other states want and have. So that happened on the first day of session, and then second day of session, Democrats had a press conference. There were a lot of gun safety groups, gun safety volunteers.
Moms Demand in their red t-shirts.
Every town for gun safety, yeah. Everyone with the red t-shirts at the legislature for an advocacy day to basically push for some of these bills that Democrats have been filing for several years now. Every year they file these bills. I'm thinking of red flag laws, safe firearm storage. There was a bill last year to add a permit requirement for purchasing long guns.
Wasn't there a gun insurance bill proposed at one point that like gun owners would be required to insure it?
Yeah, there may have been, but basically there are a bunch of these bills that are filed every year. They don't really go anywhere. Sometimes Democrats in the past have been able to introduce them as amendments to other bills on the floor when voting is underway, and then they get tabled. This year is really, definitely shaping up. We're shaping up to have a robust debate on guns again, which, I don't think that's not new, but it's definitely going to be up at the legislature this year.
You could set the tone. So as Representative Marsha Morey, she's, the former judge that's a Durham Democrat that's been behind a lot of this. Were there other lawmakers with her that
Yeah, there was,
this?
Yeah, Senator Jay Chaudhry, the Democratic whip, was at this press conference. He also spoke. He's filed some of these bills. Morey talked about filing discharge petitions this year to try and force a vote on some of these bills. That's something that Democrats have tried to do in the past as well. Basically means that if you can get signatures of at least 61 members of the House, which means some Republicans, which in other words means not going to really happen. if you were able to get those signatures, you could bypass the committee process, leadership controls that, so you could bypass that, get a bill to the floor for a vote. But Democrats basically say, you know, they're not going to stop pushing. They're not going to stop putting a spotlight on this issue. They're not going to stop raising this, you know, every week at the legislature. They're not going to stop pushing for votes. So whether or not the bills move forward, it's still going to be a lively issue.
And this is the first, you know, since the session started, the first Democratic issue that's being pushed out there. There are a lot of, you know, the legislative website, lawmakers have to schedule the press conference room a day ahead. So some people, there's like a list of Democrats planning for something, probably advocacy days, you know, could be things that come up, but this is the first big issue that is coming for this session in the election. I've never seen a discharge petition work. That would be wild to
see. I asked Maury about it. I asked her if she remembered the last time she heard of it working, coming from the minority, and she said it's been quite a long time because, you know, Republicans have had control, leadership, if leadership wants something to move forward, it'll move forward through the committee process. If they don't want to move forward, it's not really going to move forward. So nothing too new there.
I don't know. The session always has some surprises. So maybe we'll add discharge petition. All right, let's move on to our picks for headliner of the week. I'll stay with the same theme for mine. It's the first day of school vibes that everybody said that. That clip you heard from Representative saying he also about something else, whether it was Republicans were about to caucus, and he mentioned the first day of school vibes. All the reporters had that. Our photographer that was there for the day, Ethan Hyman, we asked him to take our group photo of us, you know, start
thank
a session
you, day.
Yes, thank you, Ethan. Yeah. But it's fun. It's like, I mean, we were there a week ago and talked to Moore, and like, you know, it's not, the lawmakers, I guess, are the ones that really haven't been around. Obviously, there are year-round legislative staff. Shout out to all the people that work in the building and speaking of cafeteria workers that are always there. I can't wait for lemon chicken soup day. And of course, the snack bar is good, too. So a lot of people are always there. But when everybody comes, that's the first day of school vibes. So that's my headliner.
It did make it hard to find some parking the day of.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I wish we had parking spots, but our members of press car don't anyway. So Avi, who or what is your headliner?
I'm going to continue with that theme and shout out the sergeants at arms for praising our new lanyards. I'm wearing mine right around my neck as we speak, as we record this. These were, I guess, mandated this year for all Capitol Press Corps members. Red lanyards, bright red, makes it easy to identify who's a reporter. I guess the lobbyists.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the lobbyists who sign up for like the fast pass, they have like a green
that they had to
lanyard.
Buy.
Yeah, so. It's great to be back at the building and, you know, see everyone and have the sergeants at arms say, oh, it's great that you have a bright red lanyard around you. That's fantastic.
It does make it easy for them.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of like the, you know, working hard, like, you know, lower paid people in the building that deserve credit, the sergeant at arms for sure do. Although I will gripe about this reddish orange color. It's sort of hokey, which is fine for me, like Virginia Tech Hokies, but you know, generally it clashes with my aesthetic. And the other women waiting for the elevator with me, one had a black one on, and I was like, yeah, like it looks better than the orange. So that's but you know, overall, yes, they're fine. And they're on this little extender thing that's fun to like use on the door. So, all right, Kyle, I don't know if you have any NCGQ headliner or something totally unrelated.
Yeah, going away from the legislature, my headliner is going to be Brugaloo. It's a beer festival in Raleigh that I'll be going to this weekend. So
well, past weekend for listeners.
Yeah, weekend. I've already been there. It was a great time. yes, attending with actually some of our colleagues. So it should be a good time.
All right. Well, we're out of time already. Make sure you come to our live podcast recording tomorrow, Tuesday, April 30th, at the NC Museum of History, right across the street from the ledge. Starts at 5. We record at 5:30 with Senator Murdoch and Senator Sawyer. So you actually get to watch us have the conversation. So hope to see you all there. For the News and Observer, I'm Dawn Vaughn. For Abhi Bajpai and Kyle Ingram, we'll talk to you next time.
For more from our politics team, subscribe to the News and Observer at newsobserver.com/subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Under the Dome and NC Insider, and sign up for our weekly political newsletter, also called Under the Dome, at newsobserver.com/newsletters. Thanks for listening.